I'm Christian Abbott.
I'm Nathan Lavender.
I'm Sean Abbott.
And this is the Red Mist Podcast.
Hello, welcome to the Red Mist Podcast, Season 4, Episode 25. And in honor of their triumph at Road America this weekend, we honor the number 25 BMW M Hybrid V8 of Rahal Letterman Lanigan Racing in the IMSA GTP class.
So you're telling me you're honoring a second place finishing car on this podcast?
Yes.
Wow. That's amazing. I love that.
Well, what did you want me to do? The number 25 Folgers coffee car of Tim Richmond?
Well, you know, here we go. Well, now we can do like a 2-in-1, like the BMW double episodes.
I could have went back to like 1970.
I chose Jeff Gordon last week, in case you were listening.
I heard that, yeah.
It was easy.
Broke out in hives when I heard it.
You missed NASCAR, didn't you, right? You needed a... little bit of a vacation, and now we get to check it out before the playoffs. And
I had 3 weeks of not watching anything NASCAR related, so it was awesome. Although I will say this, I couldn't watch one Formula One race, and I was in the UK.
Oh, what? Like, not isn't there channel like Channel 4?
Or no, whatever? Because the hotels won't pay for the sports packages.
That's what. Wow. Can just go to a bar.
Oh, well, you must have been able to watch it.
In the morning, yeah.
Or just anytime after the race was live, because they would have recorded on Sky Q Glass or whatever it is.
Sky Q Glass.
Whatever
that is that Sky has. I don't know. I couldn't get. When I was in Belfast, I couldn't watch it, and I tried to watch it. We went through every channel over there. Then I went to Scotland, and I couldn't get a freaking race. I was like, you got to be kidding me. I tried.
But you did drive past Knockhill, right?
I did drive past Knockhill, exciting. Yeah.
We like that.
I saw the other thing I saw, I didn't get a picture of. They have these things called car demos, and basically it's like rallycross, but they plow into each other.
Oh.
So isn't it's like no driver's
Isn't that just a demolition derby?
Yeah, pretty much. But it's on a road course, like a short, sharp road course. Yeah, it was pretty cool. It actually looked like the IMSA race this weekend.
Carburetor Cup invades. Road courses.
Anyways, all right, getting back. We're going to cover NASCAR this weekend. Iowa.
Cornfield.
350 powered by ethanol. I'm shocked it's some corn
Iowa
related.
Iowa corn 350. Yep.
Iowa corn 350.
Yeah, with three stages.
Yep, we'll get to it. Next up, we'll cover Formula One at the Hungaroring, and now we're on to a break. There's no race, like nothing until September now.
There's NASCAR. What are you talking about?
No, IndyCars this weekend too.
Yeah, we got to wrap up the IndyCar season before we get back.
Yeah, because we have to have the IndyCar season over before football season starts.
Okay, so IndyCar at Portland or NASCAR at the Glen?
I'll watch both.
That's what I'm talking about. See, NASCAR with the Glen.
It's also the Knoxville Nationals this weekend, too, so I have to get my sprint car.
I guess we're just going to cover the amount of races this weekend. There's also Super Formula at Sugo.
I love Super Formula.
And then Supercars are at Ipswich.
Ooh.
For the Super 440.
All right. And then we'll touch on IMSA at Road America, and then some news and notes.
Yes.
It's a sad weekend, and it's a sad weekend sports car racing, though.
Four?
Huh?
Four?
Four?
For what?
Well, Lamborghini is no more for GTP.
For 2026, yeah.
Oh, I mean, but, are we going to miss it?
I am. I don't like seeing cars get dropped.
I mean,
I
they never really showed up.
Yeah.
Don't you miss the van wall?
I miss the van wall. I miss the Glickenhaus, and you know,
I miss Glickenhaus. I do miss Glickenhaus.
And I miss the Isotta Fraschini, but you know.
Yep.
Hey, listen. What about Glickenhaus? Is a podium sitting Le Mans prototype.
Mm-hmm. It's a freaking good looking car too.
Absolutely.
Right, but right. You know what? They didn't want to come and play.
All right, let's go talk to NASCAR, and William Byron. Welcome to the playoffs. Thank God.
No, second win of the season. Second win of the season. This benefits him further in the playoffs.
Oh, okay. I thought it was his.
Yes, he's the only driver.
The way Lee Diffy was talking.
Oh, geez. Wasn't it great to hear him back, Sean?
No.
Welcome back.
I try and figure out who's worse, him or Steve Letarte.
I know. I'm like,
it's high praise when it's Kevin Harvick's the best part of the whole thing.
Yes. Yeah, we like Kevin Harvick here.
Can they just have like Dale Jr. and Harvick just call the races?
I mean, I would be very okay with that. And then
Alan Pastor.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah, right.
Just call the races?
Junebug and Happy Harvick. It'll be a perfect call race.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Anyways.
You want to hear some amazing news? Well, your stage one winner was Brad Keselowski.
Yes, but then Bad Brad threw in a bad pit stop.
Okay. Okay. We're getting to that. Okay, yes. And it was, listen, I'm waiting for a race for Chase Briscoe to finally win to convert a pole position.
Right.
Okay. But wins are, you know, starting to become a premium.
We're down to it.
Three races left. Well, three races left. I mean, after Iowa, of course. But
No. There's really two races left.
Okay. If we're counting Watkins Glen, there's three.
No, there's two.
If we're not counting Watkins Glen, there's two.
So what are you saying, Nate?
So what I'm saying
not gonna
is,
win.
If we're taking a gander at SVG winning at Watkins Glen, I would be willing to say,
if he wins, does that lock him into the top 12?
Yes. Well, speaking of SVG, I'd also like to redact a statement I made last week because we went on about this hypothetical of how SVG could get to the championship four, and I had said, well, you know, ovals are his weak spot, and lo and behold, you know, no more than an hour later did I get a notification after we stopped recording last week's episode that SVG had won the Legends Summer Shootout at Charlotte Speedway.
Yeah, at Charlotte. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. So we got his first American oval.
He beats Scotty Mack and Darrell Wallace.
Yeah. So congrats to SVG on that one. That was multiple weeks in the process to do that. So
there is a road course in the chase.
Yes, there is. Yeah. I think what we went through last week is that if he wins Watkins Glen, then he does well at Talladega, he puts himself in a really good spot for
Well, go ahead, John. What is it?
Let's just say, well, if SVG doesn't win, so I'm gonna hope that my second favorite driver wins. Would he qualify for the playoffs when I say this name? Amendinger.
Yeah, he would.
He would qualify for the playoffs. Wait a minute.
Yeah, if he wins at the Glen, yeah.
Because so he's full time NASCAR, right?
Yeah, he's full time NASCAR Cup.
Ah, oh.
Isn't that crazy? Yeah,
he can still win the Glen. You know what? I'm gonna root for him.
Sorry, yeah. Hold on. I'm confusing Watkins for Charlotte Roval. I was
right.
The playoff hypothetical is Charlotte
is Charlotte.
Watkins is before the playoff. My bad.
The only reason I brought that up is the one guy that's really strong at the Roval but hasn't won is the Dinger.
Yep.
Yeah. He's won in Cup at the Roval.
Oh, he has won the Cup race at the Xfinity. Okay.
Nope. And he won once in Cup. He won like three or four times in Xfinity.
Okay. On the Roval?
Yep.
Oh, all right. See, now I might want him to win this week.
Yeah, he could win twice, right? Yep. So.
Because SVG's already in, so.
He's already in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, would be awesome to see the Dinger.
You're looking for two scenarios. One, SVG sweeps all the road courses on the season. Or right. Two,
yep.
The Dinger comes in and really screws with this.
That's what I want. Either one of those is fine.
Yeah, that's good.
All right. So, I actually have something to watch for this weekend.
Until they get taken out in the last lap.
It's honestly, and then I may have to just turn this down and not listen to the audio on NBC Sports. Anyways.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, you know, three races, three opportunities to get in, including, what is it, Watkins Glen? Is it Darlington and Daytona, if I'm correct?
What's left?
Watkins, yes. Richmond, and Daytona.
Richmond
and Daytona. Okay.
Yeah. So check this out. So Daytona, the Coke Zero Sugar 400.
Yeah, right.
Jesus.
Please do tell us, Sean. Yeah, it's the last. Well,
so Richmond, we have the Cookout 400.
Yep.
The first race of the playoffs is the Cookout Southern 500.
Point.
I don't know what Cookout is.
Couple of cookouts.
What's Cookout?
I don't know.
Is it like some? Why can't the Darlington race be the Rebel 500? Is there a problem with that?
Probably.
The Southern 500 works, I guess.
Southern 500.
The Rebel 500. Race. The Rebel 500. I guess it was the.
It used to be, and it was on ABC's Wide World of Sports as the Rebel 500. Mm-hmm. I don't. I guess.
You're gonna have to write a letter to NASCAR. Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Although it's go bowling at the Glen this weekend.
Quite literally.
There will be bowling. Yeah, there will be bowling.
All right. And with that segue, let's move on to Formula One at the Hungaroring. Oh,
but wait, there's more good news. Brad Keselowski won stage two. And William Byron did go on to win stage three in the whole race.
Nate, at the end of the day, it matters who crosses the finish line first, last.
First, last?
Yes. Well, because we have stage racing, we don't have a true race.
Yeah, and Brad Keselowski came in third, strong third. That was.
But Nate, he didn't win. That's.
You're right. You're right.
Hanging on by a thread with him.
Barely. Barely. Oh gosh.
Nate, trust me, he's going to win Richmond.
Can you imagine? Oh man, that'd be so awesome. That'd be
can't
so
wait to hear
sweet.
The next podcast is going to be out of hand.
Yeah, we're going to be like talking about NASCAR right away.
Oh boy! All right.
Anyway.
So onto the Glen this weekend. Fortunately, all right. That was fun. All right, Formula One. Can I possibly tell you probably one of the most boring Formula One races I've ever watched.
I was actually interested to see how it played out.
Just in terms of Lando?
No, not even that. Like I was watching more of like the battle from Alonso down to like 14th.
Oh, okay.
Because I was just curious of how the track position race was going to play out, but then we get to the end of the race and like no one really moved.
Yeah, and the only person that moved was Lando.
Well, I mean, there were a couple of guys that made their way up, but yeah, it was. Qualifying was interesting, I guess, to start there because Leclerc put it on pole. So
and the track changed so much.
Yes. Sorry, just trying to find the results. I mean, Leclerc put it on pole, and Lewis didn't get out of Q2. I mean, that was the difference. I mean, if Lewis was able to figure out and put it in for Q3, then maybe he would have gotten further up the grid than we would have thought. But I was a little shocked to see him out during Q2 because they didn't look that weak during the practices.
No.
So
no.
That was a little unfortunate.
I just don't agree. Can we come back to Ferrari after we kind of talk about the race? I mean, I'll say this. I thought Lando's team did the right thing and tried to do something different.
I thought that not just Lando's team, but I thought McLaren as a whole played the race to perfection because this is what you should do with both drivers.
Right.
In order to
I agree.
Win the race.
And in this race, it just happened to work into Lando's favor.
Right. I mean, I get it's, you know, Oscar was the lead driver, but this is what we've been saying that they should be doing since the start of the season.
Yes.
Like, and it's not, you know, after I guess the past couple of races, could you say, you know, is Max in contention for the title? No. And I think we've probably been trying to hold out on that just as long as we can.
Yeah.
It's very clear it's a two horse race and it's both McLaren drivers.
Yep.
So the only team that can lose this championship or can take this championship away from McLaren is them themselves.
Yes. I would 100% agree with that.
So I have zero problem with the two drivers splitting strategies like this to jump one Ferrari driver or, you know, one Mercedes driver, one Red Bull driver. This is very reminiscent of what Hamilton and Bottas or Hamilton and Rosberg were with Verstappen and Vettel at the time.
I would say more Hamilton and Bottas.
Right. But this is what they should do. And I was sitting there during the race figuring how you would, if you went along with that, how would you, I guess, not give preferential treatment to one driver during the race. And I think the best way to do it is whoever is quicker in qualifying, they get first pick at which strategy they want to go on.
Yep.
And that's it. And obviously, you know, if you have a bad start during the race, like, and you think that one strategy is going to be better than the other and you want to flip the second driver up because they did the job on the first lap, like, I get it. You know, it makes sense that way. But this is, I guess, something you should have in all the pre-race discussions of how everything plays out and where you go from there. Because at the end of it,
and
the team needs
it
to
was
win.
More of, and it was a fair fight.
It was. Yeah.
It was. Now, I have one thing to say after the race. Mm-hmm. Oscar's just got to drop the chip on the shoulder routine.
Yeah, I 100% agree.
It's like just, you know, wasn't our day. We try, like, just go, hey, we tried, it wasn't our day. He didn't, by not saying anything, it's just like, you know, it's boorish. It really is. You know?
I think there's, I could be, you know, speculating here. I think it has to do with maybe Mark Weber.
Yes. I'm going to go right with you. Yeah.
I agree.
Yep.
But I think that plays a huge role.
Yeah. But
I don't necessarily disagree with his take either, because he was in an environment where, you know, that's how it is and you got to fight for yourself. So, and clearly Zach has no problem dropping drivers. So I think this is an okay stance for Oscar to take anyways, because he's ultimately looking out for himself. So,
yeah, but I mean, he didn't even congratulate the team.
I think Zach Brown has more of a focus on Lando Norris.
I can't stand Zach, so anyways.
I'm just telling you what it is.
Like, yeah, no, I guess
you're in Drive to Survive.
He
says we've entered into the Lando Norris era.
Yeah, I kind of get that. So.
You know, so that's where I think he's coming from.
All right.
You know,
no, that's good.
No, it's just something to, you know, keep in the back burner, I guess.
Okay. But the next thing is, can I ask that someone does the Scandinavian flick on George Russell, please?
What, Leclerc?
No, just anybody. Just anyone. I am so sick of him. It's
on the radio.
It's holier than thou attitude. It's ridiculous. Can't take him. I can't take him. All right, let's just touch on this real quick. Now this came out after the race. So supposedly the problem with the two Ferraris is this: there is a more conservative setup that's on Lewis's car, and they're running Charles's car higher. But as the weight comes off the car drops, so the performance goes away.
Mm-hmm.
The car drops?
Yeah, apparently this is what they're saying. But would it go the other way?
I would think it goes the other way. It gets higher off the ground.
All right. Okay. All right. So So Lewis's car is running on a more steady, you know, state, whereas Charles's car is set up, you know, they run it lower and then it gets higher as the weight comes off, and apparently the performance drops off.
Okay.
This is what they've been talking about. I'm like this is crazy.
It just means it's sensitive to where the car rides at that point.
Yeah.
So I guess I'd say any track where it's bumpy then or rough surface, like, it's not going to do well. So I would probably say Coda is not going to be a friendly track.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't. I just was like, wow.
Yeah.
Just didn't realize it was that sensitive, but holy guacamole. There you go.
I'm just kind of looking
at a couple of notable results. Are we good with Ferrari?
Yeah.
Okay. Because a couple of things, right? I mean, Lewis Hamilton didn't even make the points, right? Yep. Nope. It was only Leclerc with Ferrari that made the points, and a couple of notable finishes. I would say Gabriel Bortoleto.
A strong result for all weekend.
I'd also like to include the other driver of Sauber, Nico Hülkenberg, because he was tied for the biggest move of the race at +5 positions.
Nice. Very, very nice. So, and Liam Lawson, the highest finishing Red Bull driver.
Yes.
Yes.
And a strong result by Fernando Alonso, too. Yes.
Fred. Yep.
Yep. Started fifth, stayed fifth, but all good.
Yep.
Hey, that's points that Aston Martin need.
Aston finished the second highest scoring team of the weekend.
Yep, McLaren, Aston Martin.
Mercedes.
Yeah, I was going to say.
That midfield battle. After, I mean, Williams has got 70 points. I have no idea how they've gotten 70 points. Like, I feel like they haven't been in a race in like five.
Yeah.
You know, but wow, it's that's tight.
Yeah, it's gonna be interesting who gets sixth. Is kind of more.
Yeah.
The constructors battle I'm looking at, right? What is it? Williams is reachable. Like you can get.
Yep.
You can get
If they have more bad results, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, because I mean, this was definitely a big hit to their lead.
Yeah.
So it could be actually interesting for fifth on back, you know?
Yeah, fifth on down. Yeah.
It seems like Sauber has replaced Williams in terms of, I guess, the top midfield team in some sense. Well, I mean, I know
Aston. A team or B?
Aston's up there. But
yeah, I would say so, Christian.
I
would say you're right because they've come on in the last five races, whereas Williams is kind of fluttered.
Yeah,
you know?
And they do okay in qualifying, but in the race, Alpine this weekend was nowhere.
They were the biggest
losers.
Colapinto
dropped four places and Gasly dropped three to
finish
P last on track. So. I know the Red Bull car was tough to drive considering it was outdone by a V carb in the race, barely, but just ahead of the Alpines is Yuki down to 17th. So
And Yuki, he is not having a fun time in that Red Bull.
No, he's not.
I don't think anyone's gonna have a fun time in this Red Bull. Yeah, the car is just not where it was last year by any means.
Yep.
100%. I mean, granted, it's won a race this year, so it's definitely capable. But on a week in or out basis, it's definitely not the first car of choice you'd probably want to rock up in. But
yeah,
they'll figure it out. I guess I'm probably more interested to see if they've already thrown in the towel for the season and are looking towards next year. But I guess that's also the great mystery of F1. You never know what everyone's schedule is.
True. Right. So now we're on the break.
Yeah. What is it? A month? Until Zandvoort.
Yes.
Yeah,
next race is what?
It is August 31st.
August 31st. 29th, 31st, yes. Last weekend of August. All right. Let's move to IMSA. I was looking forward to this race. the first 15 minutes of the race killed it for me.
Yeah.
Oof.
Yeah, my first thought was, and we're doing this for 6 hours next year? Like, all right.
I know.
And that's just a really sour taste to have, because like it's Road America, you don't think about that track.
Yeah, I mean, I mean, this is kind of like, it's like, it's so, you know, we go from Watkins Glen to, you know, I know they went to, there was a race in between Motorsport, but in terms of the big events, it goes Watkins Glen to Road America. It's like, oh, that's nothing better.
Yeah.
You know? And it's like, wow, this race was, and it wasn't really the GTP cars. It was LMP2 and GTD Pro and GTD. It was like, wow. It was just bad driving. I mean, BMW was definitely the class of the field this weekend, though.
Yeah. Yeah, it was...
I mean, the Corvettes were fast in GTD Pro, and then they both got taken out at the same time, you know?
Right, yeah, which that was wild anyways.
Yeah, and yeah, that was... Jesus. Talk about getting ambushed.
Yeah. But I guess going back towards qualifying, I was glad to see Dragon Speed get it on pole after following up a win at Mossport. That was very cool.
Yep. Oh, that was good. That was good. And then we had AO with the win, which was good. Mm-hmm. So that was exciting. Paul Miller team took a win for BMW in GTD Pro.
Yep.
Nate's guy, Neil Verhagen.
Yeah, I did some skip bar with him, so it's pretty cool to see him get his first GTD Pro win. That was pretty cool. Wasn't he with Madison Snow?
He was.
Madison, yeah, so they won for BMW. An amazing weekend for BMW.
And then GTD, we had Ferrari. And their new driver, Kenton Cook, take the win. he gets dropped.
He gets dropped and wins the first race.
Ugh.
He's in.
I'm just looking to see where... I'm trying to find where. I don't even see them. Did they not run here?
Who?
Kordoff? Wasn't that who he was running with?
I'm not sure.
I forget the team, but I did recall him getting dropped by a team.
Yeah, he got dropped and they got picked up by I mean, he's like a damn good driver. Damn good driver, so good for him.
Yeah.
Christian's guy, Danny Formal.
Yep. Took the win.
His first.
Took a fifth overall in GTD.
Oh, that's right. But he did win in Super Trofeo.
Lamborghini. Yep.
Which?
Did anyone see this race two start?
What happened?
That was so awful.
Yeah, Nate ended up showing it to me, because I was watching that race, but I tuned in
after the start
because
there was just one bad wreck after turn one.
Oh
yeah,
and was it like everyone it, like it, there's three cars cutting the grass.
It wasn't one bad wreck after the start. It was like here's a little
it got worse
here. Yeah, and then like it just snowballed into another one and then a bigger one.
On lap one or a lap?
Lap
yeah. Someone lost their mirror, and a guy ran over it, hit the wall, and then drove straight across the crash, straight across the track, and collected a whole another car, and tore the crap out of each other's car.
I saw the one where at the end of the race, the guy literally, like, put it off in the dirt, went from the right side of the track to the left side, bounced off the wall, and then right into the wall on the left side of the track. He was like,
"Oh my God!"
I was just like, "Holy crap, dude!"
Tore some crap. Yikes.
Yeah, you know. Hope you like buying new Lamborghinis. Holy crap! Yeah.
Gosh. they get insane. So
all right, IMSA's now we get into the this is we so now IMSA though we so
GTP has two races left, and GTD has three races left because they got to go to VIR for the GP festival. Mm-hmm. And then we go to the Brickyard for the Battle of the Brickyard. Is that 6 hours?
Indy is 6 hours.
That'll be fun. Is it going into the night?
No, they don't. No. It's not. They're running from noon to six.
Noon to six. Okay. Yeah. And then we have Petit Le Mans.
Mm-hmm. I think at Indy, the Michelin Pilot race runs into like dusk.
Oh, okay.
But there's no lights at Indy.
Right. So that's right. Yeah.
They won't run there, and unless they do, then there's it's.
They have to at least light up the pit lane.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
I can't remember if the SRO GT America Indy 8 hour race tonight or not.
Yeah. I can't remember that either. Huh.
They probably start early in the morning and then go till.
It's a that's actually not a bad race there. That 8 hour race, it's actually pretty good.
Yeah.
I don't know if they still do it.
No, they still do it.
They still do it. That's not a bad race. That'd be pretty good.
So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but next up for IMSA is VIR. Do a GT.
Yep, that'll be fun.
So GTD Pro and GTD.
Yep.
Do that race. Cool.
No prototypes.
Nope.
All right. Next up. Just some news, as we kind of alluded to, Lamborghini pauses its program. My feeling is that's the last we've seen of Lamborghini.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
That's a bummer.
I don't really have anything more to add about that. You got to put enough funding behind it, and it's always kind of seemed a little iffy since the start. So,
yeah, well, I mean, they lost one car when they crashed it heavily at Paul Ricard.
Yeah,
you know, and that kind of they've said that that's really put them on the back foot. Mm-hmm. Man, there's not a whole lot of news other than that.
Well, we haven't touched on it. But we've never discussed Horner getting let go
at Red Bull. Oh.
So.
Didn't we all see it coming?
I mean, what, for Red Bull to keep Max on the team? I mean, yeah.
No, Horner gone. I thought he was gone at the end of the year. I was a little surprised they did it now. I figured they'd wait till the end of the season.
No, Red Bull does that to the drivers. I figured they'd do it to all their staff, too.
Can they do it to Helmut?
I mean, eventually, right?
I would love it.
Eventually.
And just to clarify, Horner is still technically with the company. He's just not.
Yes, he hasn't. They haven't finalized his separation package.
Yeah.
Which is going to be pretty hefty.
Yeah.
Where do you think he ends up?
Sauber, which would be hilarious, or Audi.
I wouldn't be surprised if Cadillac picks him up.
Oh my god!
Well, they already got somebody.
Who?
Who? They got that guy, John Booth. Guy used to run Manor.
Yeah.
I'm thinking Alpine.
Oh, yeah.
That's my thoughts.
Yeah, Alpine wouldn't be bad.
That would be interesting.
Because who's
see that plays out?
Who's heading Aston Martin right now? Because I know Lance will just or Lawrence could just throw a check at him, but
it's not my crack anymore.
Not no, my crack. Not. Yeah. Hold on. You're checking.
Yeah, checking.
Andy Cowell.
That's right.
Oh, Sean.
Nate.
Update on the Watkins Glen Cup Series entry list.
Uh-oh.
Connor Zilich is on the entry list.
Is on the for the cup race?
Yep. Yes, sir.
Who's he running for?
Trackhouse, the 87 Red Bull car.
Nice.
Darren Grubb is the crew chief.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
Is there any chance that Trackhouse? What was the other one? What was the guest car project?
Project 91.
Project 91. Could they bring an entry for that?
Right, that would. I mean, I think the rule in NASCAR is you can have 4 full-time drivers and then 1 part-time driver is the most you can have.
Yeah,
in one team. So well, it'd be within reason.
Can't they like just sit Suarez out?
They want.
Well, the only reason I'm saying is like they've got Red Bull sponsorship. I mean, there is somebody that this German guy is kind of free this weekend. I think.
Right. Who could that be?
Franz Hermann.
Oh, right. Yes. Gosh, why did they not do that? Come on.
What imagine if Verstappen rocked up.
Number 33.
That would be awesome.
With either Kyle Larson.
Or how about Bottas?
I think Bottas or Daniel Ricciardo.
Danny Rick.
Come on, what's he doing?
Danny Rick. Danny Rick could rock
him. He would love to be in NASCAR.
Yeah. That would be fun to have him.
I want to bring up one thing I forgot to touch on last week. I know he's like polarizing with some of the F1 interviews, but I've enjoyed Nico Rosberg lately.
Oh my gosh. Yes. He's asking the questions that need to be asked. Yeah,
he does not care about what he's asking. So he just goes up and pokes there with the stick.
Is he on Sky Glass? I mean
Yeah. Yeah, I watch.
See, nothing against Nico. I just can't watch Sky.
No, I don't watch Sky either. I just get the all the clips from either Twitter or Instagram or whatever you see it blow up on.
Yeah.
So I think it's just funny watching it back because I watched his interview with everyone on the grid walk where he would go up and ask the hard questions. Like he asked Max's dad Yoss about the Horner situation. It's like, oh, like that was that good to stay at Red Bull for next year? Like, and then went up to Bottas and asked him, like, you got the Cadillac seat for next year, right? In which Bottas replied, what are you saying? I can't hear you. Yeah. And then
I can't hear you.
What else? He had one other driver. He asked another question. But like, and it's not that like, you know, you want to be like rude to anyone, but like if you have stuff going around in the paddock, there's like half truth to everything unless you go and ask it.
That's the question.
Go ask
the question. Yeah. Yeah. No problem.
I don't have a problem.
It's not that hard.
Right. And, yeah, and if you want to deflect. But like if you don't want to be asked the question, don't be there. Like
So apparently this weekend, this is the thing I can't stand.
with Sky. So apparently, Sky UK. Let's be real here. It's not Sky Deutsche or whatever. It's about 8,000 Sky channels anyway. So apparently, Crofty and Anthony Davidson were convinced that Max bumped Lewis.
Oh, on that yeah, incident. I saw this. Yeah.
And it tells me something when Lewis goes. Lewis just didn't even bother to show up, which is even better. Like, like Lewis is like, really? He's like, I just throw. Like, he goes, you know what? I think Max caught him by surprise, and he was like, I'm gonna let him pass me because the only place I can go is off the track, and that's what he did. You know?
Yeah.
Well, it was either that or he knew it was Max that was trying to pass him, so he's like, I have to leave the space, otherwise I'm going to get taken out. Because,
right.
I mean, it's not like Max really was fighting for a whole lot. He ended up ninth in the race.
The move wasn't... I mean, the move was an absolute great surprising move, which yes, I have no problem with. He had done it a couple times in those chicanes. But,
yeah.
I thought, you know, I just figured he surprised him, and Lewis was like, oh, that was it.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, the two clowns on Sky are like convinced that he hit him. Like, yeah. What?
No.
It's like, come on, that's not correct.
And then Lewis doesn't even bother going to the race thing. That was even better. I have to applaud him for that.
Well, and I mean, I saw they put the FIA put the notification up like, oh, it's being investigated. Yeah. I'm like, if you're gonna penalize Verstappen, like how?
Oh,
he didn't. Yeah, he stayed on track. He didn't.
Yep.
Get position and run Lewis off the track. Like
nope.
it wasn't whatever. like the Mexico incident last year where where he was doing that style of driving. Just kind of is what it is, and you're battling for 10th place at that point, or 12th, whatever it was. So, not that, like,
awesome.
I guess those positions already are, well, I mean, they are worth less than first and second, but I mean, in terms of driving standard, it doesn't matter where you are on the grid, everything applies equally. But, yeah. All right. Well, I guess.
Oh, wait a minute. We got to do our picks for IndyCar.
Oh, yeah, we do.
That's right. It's like no F1. No.
Oh, no.
So Portland.
Right? Yep.
I mean,
what do we do?
I'll go first.
Winner and Dark Horse?
Yeah, winner and Dark Horse.
Well, I'll go first and pick Alex Palou, and then you're gonna see. Yeah, I know. And then you're gonna see. Who's a good rookie right now? Guess we'll go with Rinus VK.
Oh, boom!
So boom. We'll see. We'll see what happens there. Boom.
I like that.
Okay.
All right. I'm going to go with... I'm going to take Dixon.
Nice.
All right. Because for some reason, this track always turns into a fuel mileage thing. Mm-hmm. And my dark horse is going to be... Oh, Nate's going to love this. I'm going with Graham Rahal.
Oh my god. Good luck to you.
Alright. I'm gonna
double up on Palou.
No. Look, Palou is going to seal the championship this weekend.
Yes.
I have no question 100%. About that.
100%.
Yeah.
The only way he doesn't is if he gets wiped out. That's the only 100%. The only way.
Yeah.
But I'm going to go in a different direction, and I'm going to say Penske pulls one out of the bag, and it's Will Power that gets the win.
Will Power
from Toowoomba,
and then
Toowoomba.
I'm going to go
the Verizon.
I'm going to go Callum Ilott as the dark horse.
Ooh, I like
those
that.
Those are good picks, Sean. Yep. I like those.
I do like the Verizon.
Yeah, gets Penske's first win all year.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That'll feel good.
Exactly.
That'll feel good.
Who's under contract? Not him.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
No one picked Ferrucci. I'm surprised.
Well, we've... Actually, Nate, you're... your picks that you gave Sean here for F1 last week was almost on the nose because you jokingly
who did I have? Did I have Lance Stroll?
Yeah, you jokingly had Lance Stroll winning and then Alonso second, and I was like, oh my god, they're actually like up on the timesheets.
I thought I had Liam Lawson as well.
Yeah. A really good race.
Well, I had Lawson as my dark horse, so that was a good pick there.
Oh, that was a good pick.
That was a great pick.
Actually, Nate, your dark horse, Alonso, was actually the best out of the three.
Worked out.
So.
Wow.
Listen, we like Fred here on the podcast.
We like Fred.
We love Fred. I found this one... this one social media account, it's called Formula like 8-bit, so every post is just in like an 8-bit format. But they do this one race day post where it's like my brain says, and then like lists their top five predictions, and then on the left side of the post, and then on the right side he goes, but my heart says, and every race it's just Alonso. Yeah. 1 through 5.
100%. 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah. If he's back in the podium, great. Is there another win in Alonso? I mean, he probably thinks so, but I just...
Well, after this weekend, I wouldn't be surprised if he put down Zandvoort.
As a Zandvoort? Yeah. There we go.
That might be one.
Will the Dutch Army let him win?
I think the Dutch Army would definitely let Alonso.
They'd be okay with it. Jamie. Yeah, they'd be okay with it.
They'd be fine.
Yeah, they don't want to see McLaren.
That actually might be the race where the two McLaren drivers take each other out.
No. Yep. I was wondering what race that could be. And you think the first race on the break?
Zandvoort or turn one at Coda?
Oh, yeah.
Sean. On American soil.
I say Zandvoort wouldn't be a bad one because first race back, you might forget where to brake for turn one.
Yeah.
Good excuse.
But I think if they're gonna make contact, I would probably say later on in the season, if assuming points are still close between the two, and they start getting ready.
Between just these two, yeah. Just us.
Yeah.
So. All right.
All right, man. All right, boys.
Yep.
Well, we'll see what happens.
Yep.
Be interesting to see how it plays out.
Mm-hmm. No bad bread this weekend.
IndyCars at Portland, Super Formula at Sugo, Supercars at Ipswich,
NASCAR.
NASCAR's at Watkins Glen.
Glen, yep. Go bowling.
Anything else?
Go bowling.
No, I think that's it.
No.
Alrighty then.
And on that note,
good night.
Thank you guys for listening to the Redness Podcast, hosted by Christian Abbott, Sean Abbott, and Nathan Lavin. It's produced by Christian Abbott, and music is by Alex Wart and Harrison Tate.